I'm afraid, quite frankly, this is a pretty disturbing story to learn happening right in our own country here in the United States. For 70 years, Sears Roebuck and Company's headquarters were in Homan Square on Chicago's West Side. All the game shows would mention it when they'd talk about prizes. Chicago 60609. Sears tested products, printed its catalog, and shipped goods all across the U.S. from Homan Square until the retailer moved into the Sears Tower in 1974. The Chicago Police Department took over part of the former retail complex and now operates an evidence and recovered property office that is also, according to the Guardian newspaper, a CIA-style gitmo on Lake Michigan, a black site where the Chicago PD conducts off-the-books interrogations, where suspects are restrained, denied access to counsel, and sometimes beaten. More than 7,000 people have been brought through the complex after they were detained, but before they were officially processed. Just 68 of those 7,000 inmates had access to their lawyers, The Guardian reports, citing police records obtained as part of a lawsuit the paper filed against the Chicago PD. Joining me now is David Gager, an attorney whose client was taken to Homan Square in 2011 after being arrested for marijuana. David, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What does it look like to be taken to Homan Square, and how much of a rep does it have on the streets?
Well, it's a disturbing experience for people who are in Chicago police custody. This is not the same as going through the front doors of a normal police station with a desk and a officer and phones. This is a red brick warehouse in the middle of two of the worst neighborhoods in Chicago, with no front door, no parking lot, surrounded by cameras, razor wire, floodlights, and you're let in there from one door or another, without any type of formal processing. And it's really a scary, scary thing for those people who are in custody and are being interrogated by the Chicago police.
How far did you get into that building?
On the occasion that I had with a client of mine who was taken into custody, I actually brought my client to that location where detectives requested that he be brought. So I got him to a door, since there is no front door, and was greeted there by detectives on the outside, where I told anyone who would listen that he was exercising his right to remain silent, and then he was taken and back into custody. So I actually never really breached the facility because I was not entitled to do so.
What did your client tell you he saw inside there?
Well, a lot of that information is somewhat privileged based on my interactions with him, but what I can tell you is that what goes on in there is not what you would expect in a police station, either in Chicago or, I'd have to say, in the entire country. This is not a place with rooms and processing, fingerprints, phones, analytics, nothing like that. This is totally different. It's a totally different experience, and it's not one that's on the books.
And legally speaking, I mean, when the police arrest you, there has to be a record of that arrest. You have to be charged with something within a particular period of time. Have the Chicago police created a zone where somehow habeas corpus doesn't apply?
I wouldn't necessarily say, or I wouldn't know to say that it's a zone. What I do know is that individuals are taken there and the process is different from all the other police stations that I've ever interacted with. I've turned clients in or visited clients at police stations all around the city, and the booking procedure is pretty streamlined. In fact, in most police stations, right on the wall when you get there, there is a sign that says rights upon arrest and all the things that someone in custody has the right to do, including speaking with an attorney and within a reasonable time contacting family. That's not what happens at Homan. And eventually those people are processed, but in many circumstances we're talking hours and hours after they've been detained.
So what would the police be able to do at Homan that they couldn't do at a regular precinct? And what has your client told you, insofar as you can share it with us, that happened at Homan?
Well, the most important thing for anyone who has been detained by any type of law enforcement is to assert your right to remain silent and to speak with an attorney before any police officers, or even more importantly and more egregiously, any state's attorneys who prosecute cases, speak with you. And the issue that has come up at home and the issue that the Guardian had analyzed was that people were being either denied access to those attorneys, or attorneys couldn't find their clients and know that they were at home and until people had already spoke with them. And being denied that constitutional protection is a major problem, and it can lead to clients making statements both against their interests and potentially ones that are either not true or limited in the amount of full detail that they give.
But isn't it the case that in court, if Mr. Gager, a prosecutor, says this is what your client said in custody and you can determine that it was at Homan Square, it'll be thrown out because he wasn't read Miranda rights, he wasn't given basic access to counsel, that sort of thing?
Well, that's not necessarily the case, and here's why. In order for a statement to be deemed inadmissible because of a failure to be read Miranda or because it was given without the rights of an attorney, that has to be asserted through evidence. And an individual also has the right to speak with police should they want to without an attorney present. The issue we have here is that Homan, with no one inside, no cameras, no formal booking procedures, nothing like that, it is easily maintained by police. Well, your client made a statement. He said he wanted to talk with us voluntarily. He said he wanted to speak with state's attorneys and wanted to waive his right to counsel. Oftentimes, police testify that that was done orally, no sign, written refusals, anything like that. And before you can do anything, as one of my football coaches famously said, you can't put toothpaste back in the tube. Things are already done, and your client's rights have already been waived. Or police are saying your client's rights have been waived, and the statement is already in the report.
More than 80% of the people detained at Homan, black, 11, nearly 12% Hispanic, way beyond the proportion in the population. What do the authorities say about Homan?
Well, here spokespersons for the Chicago Police maintain that it was business as usual as far as the Chicago Police Department is concerned regarding arrests at Homan Square. And regardless of the demographics of who's arrested there, the procedure is not business as usual. It is anything but business as usual. And the demographics surrounding that location, I think, speak for themselves.
David Gager is an attorney whose client was taken to Homan Square in 2011 after being arrested for marijuana. 7,000 people were reportedly disappeared at the old Sears Roebuck and Company site, Chicago 60609 on Chicago's west side. David, thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.